The sermon for today needs no introduction. We know why we're here, right? We know what this day is about, but you don't have to, you know, be crafty or recreate anything. But this sermon, this message that we are going to hear this morning is, it's for each of us. And this is where it all started for each one of us today. If we're a child of God today, this is where it started. Because Christ could not die on the cross and be buried and rose again if, one, he wasn't born, right? He first had to be born, and it's super important to understand that, because sometimes I think we can just think of God like, man, he's just supernatural. He just came, and he's like, hey, I'm going to take the sins on the cross and just take care of all that. No, he came as a all God and all man, right? He was born in a lowly manger. And then when we accept him, he takes up residence inside a lowly manger, right? Just an old beat down, whatever we are, temple, and gives us new life. So today, I want you to open up your Bibles to the book of 1 John. That's where we're going to base our text out of today, and it's going to seem really strange why we're going to 1 John on Christmas morning, but it's where God took me. So we're going to be in the first four verses of 1 John, but while you're turning there, I also, if you want to turn there and get your place and hold it with your finger, and then grab another finger and stick it in the book of Luke chapter 2. Because we need to see Luke chapter 2. So 1 John chapter 1, maybe put a finger there and then flip back to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read the account of why we're here today. And so while you're finding that, I'm going to go ahead and read it. But it says in Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made first when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee unto the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was not of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. So I want to maybe fold your corner of your page, because we're going to go back and we're going to reference a couple of these verses throughout the message this morning. And I'm going to keep this, I'll keep this brief. We'll keep this under 2 hours and we'll be out of here. So, no, we won't. We will, I promise. Yes, that's a promise I will keep. But so just maybe keep your place there, and we'll go back to Luke and we'll visit that throughout this. But with your other finger, flip to the book of 1 John, and we'll understand a little bit of why God took us to the book of 1 John. And does anyone know the overwhelming theme of the book of 1 John? Love, right? Love. So just keep that in the back of your mind too. There's a lot of different things that we could come up with there, but love was the answer I was looking for. So not saying you were wrong, but somebody was right with me. So, okay, so in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, and that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and that we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Father God, I pray today that we, that word joy, God, that that word that we use often, and Father, that word that we use to describe things or us or whatever it may be, God, that we have an understanding of what joy, what true joy really is. And God, I pray that this morning you would use your word to help us to understand what brings joy into our lives, what gives us true joy, and not just empty happiness, and not just flesh fulfillment. But God, joy that is eternal, joy that is unending, joy that can only come from you. And God, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for Jesus Christ. We're thankful for you to send your son to this earth to be born in a manger that morning. And God, that we could, Father, we could have life because of that. It had to start with that. It had to start with life. It had to end with death. But it didn't end there. It was ended with resurrection. So God, we're thankful for that. I pray today you're glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so from the beginning, okay, in these first four verses, we're just going to see four quick things, okay? They'll be quick, they'll be, we'll get through them, and then we'll move on. But in these first four verses, we're going to see four quick things that show us where our joy, where we get our joy, okay? Just simplify it like that. And we're going to see four things of where we can get joy, maybe other places. But in our text today, we're going to see four things that give us joy, and how we receive it, and why. So the text begins, that which was from the beginning. And that phrase, from the beginning, right? We can think of a couple different verses that start with that. Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? And then John 1:1, right? In the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there was a beginning, right? We all understand that there was a beginning. There had to be a beginning. But you know what? It takes faith for us to believe that. It takes faith because the world is trying to make us understand the beginning didn't start here, right? The beginning started with some shotgun blast or something crazy, right? But some say the beginning just simply couldn't have came from God, but can't prove it. And they're going to spend their whole entire life trying to prove it, and they may think that they're proving it, but they can't prove it. And they'll waste their whole entire life trying to say that God wasn't the beginning, but this was the beginning. Well, what created this? Well, I don't know, but it just happened. We hold in our hands this morning the very words of God, right, telling us otherwise. There's no better proof than what we hold in our laps this morning. There's no better proof than what we're staring at on our cell phone this morning. There's no better proof than the words of God, okay? There's nothing. Proof. So that which was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that. And in John 1:14 it says, and the Word was made flesh. Because you're like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is the Word? Well, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we behold His glory, and the glory of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Word. God is the Word. Some would say Jesus maybe was an afterthought for God. God did not create Jesus on a whim. Like, oh man, I've totally messed up. We got to cook up this concoction. I got to make the sacrifice. I've got to fix what's been wronged. No, Jesus was there from the beginning. God knew us, right? He knew the knuckleheads that we were going to become. He knew. He from the beginning, God understood what was going to happen to mankind. Jesus was not an afterthought. He didn't change his plan and say, I'm not going to do this now. I'm going to create a Savior because I want to save the world. So I want us to just look at four quick things. And what we need to remember this morning as we look at this topic, joy, is that joy and happiness are not the same. Some of us may, you know, think, well, they're kind of similar. And we use them interchangeably. We do, by mistake. Joy and happiness are not the same, and God doesn't intend for them to be the same. The key is that God promises joy, but He never promises us happiness. He promises us joy, but not happiness. Being happy is an emotion, right? It's like sadness or jealousy or fear, and God doesn't give us that. God gives us love and joy and peace. So how do we receive joy? Joy came in the incarnation of Jesus. And again, it takes faith to believe this, right? Because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have never seen Jesus, right? Man, I can't wait to see Jesus. And I can't wait to fix my eyes upon him, right? But I've never seen him physically. I'm not that old, right? There's nobody's old enough to see Jesus now. But what about the firsthand accounts? What about those that were there after Christ was born? The text we read in Luke tells us that there were witnesses. There were those that laid eyes on Christ as a baby, that freshly born, that new car baby smell, right? Like, man, this baby's fresh. We're here soon. This is amazing. There were those that got to see him. There was also Herod. He was so threatened, right? There was so much threat. It was like, oh, this Jesus is born. Just kill them all. Kill all the male children under two. I mean, make sure that one gets taken care of. From the beginning of Jesus' time on earth, people understood the magnitude of who he was and what his purpose was. So the first thing that we see that brings us joy is this. It says, which we have heard. Faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God. We have to hear it before we can believe it, right? Sometimes we hear with our ears, sometimes we hear with our eyes, right? However we hear it, right? The word of God, we must first hear it in order to understand it and to hear it or to keep it. So if you're still in Luke, if you have your finger there, if not, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, they had to hear. Okay? They're freaking out. Some spaceships just landed in the middle of the field. Their flock's running all over the place. They don't know what's going on. But they had to stop and hear. The angel of the Lord came to them and said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I have a message. That's what God does to us. He comes to us and says, I have a message for you. I have a message about my son. I have a message about how he can change your life, how he came to be born and he lived perfectly and he died and he was buried and he rose again for you. We must hear that. Because if we don't hear it, we walk around la, 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 all the time, nothing can change. It doesn't just, there's no magic button. There's not like, it's just going to happen. Man, I just hope maybe one day, you know, I get saved. Well, faith comes by hearing. The angel of the Lord came and told. The shepherds heard. The angels came and gave witness, a testimony, just as someone probably came and gave testimony to you or I. Jesus had to be born for each of us and every person on this earth. If he had not been born, right, he couldn't have died. So have you heard that today? Maybe our ears have been clogged. Maybe we've just somehow we've made it through this earth today or to this point, and we've never heard why Jesus had to be born. We never heard the purpose of Jesus Christ. When we hear this, though, right? When we read, every time I read Luke chapter 2, doesn't it just give you joy? Like, man, that is so awesome. I wish I could have been there. It brings you joy. Not happiness, but joy, because you know the eternal purpose of why Jesus Christ had to be born in that stable that night. Why it had to happen. That brings us joy because we understand, man, it's so I could have new life. So I could spend eternity with Jesus. So I could be unshackled from this life that I have now. When we hear how much the Father loves mankind, man, it blows our mind. This shows us where to put our trust, right? In Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, it says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. John tells us in our text that we have today that they have heard from the beginning about Christ. Today we celebrate the birth of our Savior. We've heard about it for many years. Some have believed it because they heard it. Maybe some are still not sure, but God has us here this morning to hear it again. And that's why I love about His Word. We can hear it over and over and over. Something new is every there's something new every time. So hearing God's Word brings us joy. Hearing the truth brings us joy. It may be sorrowful for some at first, right? Like, I'm a sinner. I'm separated from God. I thought I was good. I've done good things, and you mean all of that was for naught? Yeah, we didn't even have to try that. Didn't even have to try to be good, because we could never get there. Jesus is the one that gives us joy. We have to hear it. The second thing is that we have to see it and it has to be looked upon, right? To there, which we have seen with our eyes and which we have looked upon. Matthew chapter 2. The wise men, right? Let me just read that to you real quick. Matthew chapter 2, the wise men, they seen something. Their eyes caught something. I didn't write the reference down. I just know it's Matthew chapter 2. So, and we'll just start in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have what? We have seen. We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And it goes on to say, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus as it is written by the prophet. And now we don't need to go on, but we'll just read it. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, that thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people of Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, and I will come and worship him also. Wink, wink. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And they were come into the house. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and were named of God in a dream, and they should not return to Herod. They were warned of God in a dream. They should not return unto Herod. They departed into their own country another way. They seen it. They seen a sign. They seen a star. They seen something they had heard about. They had to see it. Their eyes had to fix upon it. None of us here today have seen Jesus Christ with your own eye. I don't care what you say, you haven't, okay? It's just impossible. So some of us want to. Some of us think we have, maybe, or maybe in a dream or a vision or something, but you've never seen Jesus. But we've more than likely seen him working in the lives of those around us. John could write as an eyewitness. He had seen Jesus. Jesus was not a spiritual being, but an actual human being. Not a made-up story, not a fictional character, but a human as you and I. Walking on the same planet that we do, he dwelt among us. John was giving testimony that he had seen him dwelling in the world, right? I've seen him. He's real. He brings me joy. 1 John 4:14, it says, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. It's seen it. So hearing John say it, we've seen it, gives us joy. Hearing that God so loved the world enough to send his only Son, hearing just how much God loved us, though we had yet to see him, we receive joy. Hearing that God so loved the world, that should bring us joy. Because God sacrificed his son, sending him to dwell among those that didn't love him back, right? Willing to make a sacrifice for a fallen world. That church is what true love is all about. And those that were able to be eyewitnesses, man, that rocked their world, right? To be able to see, to be these shepherds, to be these wise men, to be those that got to be a part of Jesus' life later on, whatever it might be, those that were able to fix their eyes upon the Christ, the world was rocked. But that doesn't mean, since we can't be eyewitnesses, that it shouldn't rock our world as well. Because if you're born again today, you know Jesus will rock your world. He will change your world. It's the greatest earthquake that will ever happen in your life. He'll shake, rattle, and roll it and start over. New life. That's what it means, new life. We live by faith, not by sight. The faith that we're given through God, though, it's through God. And that is an amazing thing, because God gives us the ability to have faith. Hearing about Jesus and going to see him work brings us joy, right? To be able to see Jesus working in and through us, right? To be able to see Jesus moving about the body of Christ, it's an amazing thing. Our third thing is our hands have handled it. Our hands are handling God right now. Our hands have the word of God, the words of life, wrapped around them this morning. Maybe you haven't heard, maybe you haven't seen, but this morning, if you have a Bible on your lap, you have held the Word of God. You have held Jesus. If you're laying your eyes on the Word, maybe for the first time, this is going to bring you some joy. The words of life, the Word of God that gives us eternal life. Remember the word that was made flesh, that dwelt among us? The Word of God is eternal. It will never end. It will never fade away. The world is trying to get it to fade away, though. That's the thing. The world is trying to... I think the world has figured out, okay, we can't remove the word, but we can make it fade by introducing all this other garbage, right, that clouds the vision, so we can't see it, so we can't hear it, so that we can't handle it. Why do we hide the word of God in our heart? Man, so we won't sin against God, right? But so that they can't take that from us, church. No one can take that. When we memorize God's word, when we have it dwelling in us, nothing can take that away from us. The world cannot remove the word, but it will try to replace it. The Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We get to handle the word. We get to learn and live it in our lives. Church, there's believers this morning that would die to have God's word, to be able to touch a Bible, right? We take that for granted, right? We've got 8 of them. I've got one for each day, one for each car, one for each work, whatever. People would die just to be able to, can I just touch your Bible? And you think I'm crazy, but I've met people like that we've been able to give the word of God to for the very first time in their own language, and they're like, you want to talk about joy? You want to talk about joy. They heard it, they seen it, and they handled it right there. That was true joy. And that's how we should be, right? But we take it so for granted because it's so easy, and it's easy access for us. We have it. I'll get to it when I get to it. Yeah. We got to handle it. We got to get the pages dirty. We got to get in that thing. It's got to get in us, because that's what changes us. So even though that Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago, it doesn't change the fact that this happened. And even though that we didn't witness it, but now we've heard it and now we've handled it, we've seen it with our own eyes through faith. But the verse 2 tells us that Jesus was manifest. God made Christ known. Joseph and Mary, they had to flee. They had to flee to Egypt, but God would make Christ known to the world. And he is using you and I to keep that mission moving. Because what did the shepherds do, right? What did they do? They came and seen, and then they could not help but go and tell. From the very moment of Christ's birth, the word was going forth. It was going and it was changing lives, because it said in the text in Luke chapter 2 that when the shepherds started telling people, people began to wonder. They began to ponder on the things that they had heard. And when we begin to ponder on things that we heard, we start digging, and then we start finding the truth. The fourth and final thing is fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "That which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." Oftentimes we get fellowship kind of confused on what true fellowship is. You know, like, man, we're going to go hang out with our homies, have some fellowship. Not doing church stuff. It's not fellowship. Fellowship's right here, right? If there's no God in it, it's not fellowship. I mean, you can call it fellowship, but it's not true fellowship. Fellowship is centered around the Lord, right? What we're having right now is fellowship. We're fellowshipping one with another and with the Father. The Bible tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. What happened moments after Jesus was born, right? Back in our text in Luke, what happened moments after, in 15 through 18. Luke chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told unto them concerning the child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Fellowship immediately around the Son. Right? The shepherds were drawn to that, right? The wise men were drawn to that. There was fellowship that was centered around Jesus Christ from the very moment of his birth. They had to come and see. We come so we can see. We need to see Jesus. Christians, we need one another. It brings us joy. Maybe not because we like each other, right? Maybe you're like, I don't like that person. Well, you need to work that out. But we can come together because of the one that brings us together. Without Christ, would we be here together this morning? No way, Jose, right? I can think of so many better things to be doing today. Well, I can't think of anything better to do today than be with you guys. Christ is the center of our relationship with one another. He puts us together. He gives us the ability to love one another, right? Amen. Hallelujah. He desires that we dwell together in his name. That's what's amazing. And I just want to read a verse to you. We're almost done, I promise. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says this. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Why are we here today? Because God's assembled us here today. God wants us to dwell together in unity. God wants us to be together. And he uses us, peculiar people, strange people, he uses us for his purpose. We come together to learn about God. We come together to learn about him. In Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, "Behold, how good are and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity." In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." We come together to learn so that we can grow, so that we can go. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins." In Luke, we see that once the shepherds came and seen Jesus, they couldn't help but do something. When they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which was told concerning the child. Church, when we get saved, when we believe the gospel, right, that Jesus was born, that was true, and that he lived, and he taught, and he did all these things perfectly without sin, and that he went to the cross with our whole luggage of sin, and he hung there, and he died for us in our place where we all rightfully deserve to be, and then he died his horrible death for us. And then they took him down, they buried him, and he conquered death, and he rose again. We should, when we believe that, when we accept that, when Jesus Christ changes us because of our faith in that, we cannot help but tell someone about it, right? If you can help but tell someone about it, maybe something's wrong, because you should be telling, man, my God is so good. My God changed who I was. I don't even know what happened, right? We shouldn't be able to explain it. But we should be able to explain what he did for us in our place. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told concerning the child. They heard it, they seen it, they made known abroad. This is what it's all about, church. We hear it, we see it, and we go and tell it. Will you do that today? Will you go tell it on the mountain? Right? Will you do that? Will you go? Today we're probably going to be around some people. Maybe not. Maybe we are. God's plan was to manifest his son so that we could be reconciled back to him. He desires reconciliation. He wants a restored relationship between him and I, between you and him. He wants a restored relationship. He desires to have fellowship. We should desire to tell somebody about that. And today, if you're not born again this morning, if you've never believed this, if you don't even have any idea what's going on, you don't understand why Jesus even came, why he was born, why he died, why, any of that. If we don't understand that, we need to ask. If you've never placed your faith in the hope and the one and only, why not? Not on his birth, not just on his death, but on all of it. Why does God have you here this morning? Maybe we tell people, I have a relationship with God, but it's just a lie. Why do we lie about it? I did for a few years. Oh yeah, I'm good. I went to church twice last year. I mean, my goodness, what else do we need to do? If you're only going to church twice a year, hallelujah, you're going twice a year. But that doesn't do anything for you. It's personal, right? It's a relationship. Not a religion, but a relationship. And if today, maybe you're like, what? A relationship? How do I have a relationship with one I can't see? Let somebody show you. Let somebody show you. Just surrender. Let him lead you to righteousness today. Hear it, see it, handle it, fellowship with one another today. Have joy. This word joy, right? It can mean so many different things. But I was just, Jesus is first, right? J. J for Jesus first. And O is for others second. The Bible tells us, let each esteem others better than ourself, right? So then the why must be ourself. Today, tomorrow, the next day, you're going to have an opportunity. You're going to have an opportunity because somebody's going to say, why would you go to church on Christmas morning? That is totally against your tradition and all of the things that you always do and all of this. And I can't, but why would you do that? You're going to have an opportunity to esteem others better than yourself. Because your flesh is going to be like, I don't really want to engage in this conversation right now. But we're going to be given opportunities to practice this. Jesus has to come before everything else. Before your spouse, before your family, before your job, before everything. And then others. And then, you know, for ourselves, we can have what's left over. God tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He doesn't tell us to go searching for what is best for us. He tells us to go and tell others what's best, and that's Jesus. It's that simple. Maybe today you don't have any joy. Maybe just don't, you can't seem to muster up any joy, it's because you can't muster up joy. We can't manufacture joy. We can manufacture happiness, right? We can all turn that smile on when we're like, I am not happy, but look how happy I am. We can do that. And we do that. That's not joy. You can't fake joy, okay? Joy can only come from the Lord, right? We must hear it. We must see it. We must handle it. And we must have fellowship one another around it. That's where joy is going to come from today. Be a voice today. Be a voice for someone today. Go and tell them, man, when you sing joy to the world, do you know what that joy is? Do you know that it can only come from God Himself? Be a voice today. So let's wrap up and pray.